I'm Laura.
And I'm Georgiana.
And this is De Canterbury Tales.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, happy January. Sorry, guys.
Happy, we're a little late.
We had about 2 episodes in January in December.
We did. So,
and none of them were about the book that it was our December pick. So,
well, we're getting to it. Laura and I did have plans to record and get it out before the 31st, but we both got sick. So,
and I still have a cough. So, we're 3 weeks later and still a cough. So,
welcome to the Canterbury Tales, where we're finally mildly healthy.
We're finally mildly healthy. We're finally able to record. Happy New Year. Happy 2023. We are ending season 2 today.
And everybody, happy birthday, Laura.
Oh, thank you. I am 32.
You did it.
Did it. Made it this far, and we are still rocking and rolling. So, woot, woot. But thank you. Happy 2023. It is a new year. This is a Boozy Book Club episode and a read cap episode, because we got a read cap for Q4 of last year, and we have a book to talk about. So this is just a big bundle of joy.
Yep. We're giving it all to you.
And for those of you that are not used to De Canterbury Tales, a Boozy Book Club episode is where we read a book and we pair a wine or a beverage of some kind, like we are today, not a wine today, with the novel intentionally. So that is what a Boozy Book Club episode is, if you didn't know.
But first, we banter.
We banter! I know. All right. So we haven't talked since before Christmas. How was your holiday?
My holiday was great. I spent time with my family in Birmingham. Then I went to New Orleans for an engagement party. Congrats, Ellen and Evan. And then I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a wedding. Congratulations, Olivia and Chris. And yeah, it was a really lovely holiday filled with family and really cold weather. I spent a lot of time in the feels like negative 10.
That was new for me.
I know some of our listeners, you know, you're probably used to that and you're like, child's play. But I think you can admit that when it feels like negative degrees, you're like, okay, that's admittedly kind of cold. So yeah, I had a really great time and I'm excited to kick off 2023.
Oh, did you get any good gifts?
I did. I got, what did I get? I know what I got. Oh, I got the Rihanna book.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. I got the big Rihanna book, which was magical. And I'm trying to find the perfect home for it. I've, you know, only made it through about a quarter of it because she a thick girl. And then I got some like little Harry Potter doodads and
always love a doodad.
And I got some clothes. And so yeah, it was really good. I traded in some of my clothes because I didn't like them. And I got a pair of Alexander McQueen boots.
Ooh. Yep.
You know how we feel about shoes, y'all. So it was pretty jazzy, pretty exciting for me. And I got to see my favorite sax lady. Yes, I have a favorite sax lady, but that's she's just the bomb. She's just the bomb. Love you, Missy. But what about you? What did you do for the holiday?
So for the most part, we stayed with my husband's family in Jackson. We did, you know, the kind of home, just chilling all day. I think we lasted on Christmas Day, I think like 3 hours in nice clothes. And then everyone just slowly started changing into pajamas or sweatpants of some kind. So that mm-hmm. was fun. I always appreciate a cozy Christmas. So everyone was very quick to give up on trying to be fancy, which is appreciated. I think the day after Christmas, I was off of work. So we took my nephew, who is like 1.5 and obsessed with animals. We went to the McLean Safari Park.
Nice.
And we got to take him to see the animals, which was really fun. So we did, you know, like the petting zoo. We had to feed a bunch of cool animals. And then, which was fun because we were like, wait, look, it's a cow. What does a cow say? And he was like, moo. And then the cow did like almost like a cartoon moo. It was like the most perfect moo. I was like, dude, you cannot time this. But I do have some photos. I took a selfie with a zebra, which was fun. Yeah, I fed an ostrich, which is cool. And a bison, things I've just never done in my life. And I got to feed otters, not from my hand, but from a distance. And I do have a video of them like chirping because they were very excited to see us. And they were like, please send us minnows. So I went and bought not one, but two containers of minnows because I also wanted to feed them. I was like, this one is for you, small nephew that is 1.5. This one is for Auntie Lala because Tila likes to feed the animals too. Everyone thinks this is for you. It's really for me. It was like petting zoo time. I bought like 2 buckets of feed, a bag of the baby carrots, 2 things of the minnows. I was like, let's go, everybody. It's animal time. So yeah, maybe I'll post that somewhere as my selfie with the zebra. We'll put on the blog and some animal photos because that was just fun. I got to pet a lot of animals. And we went to the beach for New Year's. And my birthday is January 1st, everyone. And somebody on Instagram, oh shoot, I'm gonna give her a shout out. Somebody on Instagram is buying us buying me a birthday book, and it was just really sweet. Shoot, it's not letting me look at it right now, my internet's mad. Anyway, we'll tag her, but thank you for that. I was really sweet, so thank you for sending me a birthday book. Georgiana's birthday is in February, so get ready.
No, but that's a kindness.
I know. It was just such like a nice little like random act of kindness. I'm like determined to find it now. Hold on. What else? So we went to the beach. We went, oh, for my birthday, I wanted to play putt-putt golf. So the family all went and we did mini golf. And we did mini golf, go-karts, and an arcade, and I got like a little stuffed animal, and that was fun.
So now I'm trying to find it
for my birthday. Okay, her name is Rach Reads 84, RachReads 84 on Instagram, and she did a birthday book giveaway for people with birthdays in January. And so thank you, Rach Reads 84, Rachel in North Carolina, for my birthday book. I'm excited. Thank you very much. So, but yeah, that's what we did. And then we came home and I did yoga every day at the studio that I love in Orange Beach, Glow Yoga. And I read a lot of books and I've already finished. It is officially January 4th as we're recording. And I've already finished my first book of the year. I'm already on my second. So I'm proud of myself.
And you're beating me.
Yeah. Y'all, this is the one time ever in the history of ever that I have been beating Georgiana.
I'm currently reading 2 books, listening to 1 book, and I am finishing my first book tonight. So I'm not far behind you, but you are winning right now. Okay. And I'm proud of you.
Tap, tap. Tap, tap. I'm very proud of me. And yes, that's what we've been up to. And it's the end of 2022 and the close of season 2. Do you have any year highlights, you know, favorite moments of 2022 you want to share before we kind of like dive into our meat and potatoes?
Well, yeah, for us, I really loved going to the Mississippi Book Festival. That is something that you and I, you know, planned and talked about for a very long time, and actually getting to do that, connect with listeners, finding new listeners, just being around like-minded book lovers really felt special. And you know, I look forward to more events. I look forward to our event in Natchez that we're going to be going to. And then I really loved talking with Blue Cypress Books recently too. I guess what I really love about this was connecting with people who also love books. And it's been fun. I read 68 books this year, and in the moment, sometimes it feels like a lot, but then when you're finished, you're like, but there's so many more to read, and that's just like a dream. So thanks for letting us do this, guys. It's so much fun, and I can't wait to see what 2023 holds with my reading.
Wild. And I think I echo that. I think the Mississippi Book Festival was definitely a highlight for this year, and getting to, and that's where we met Raina from Blue Cypress Books, and just getting to connect with a lot more book accounts. I think this year was a big one for us in terms of connecting with other people who love books as much as we do, and gaining kind of listeners that care about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with, I mean, we hit, so we did make our goal. Our goal, we didn't tell anybody, but our goal for 2022 was to get 1,000 followers on our Instagram account. And we did it with time to spare on New Year's Eve. So thank you everybody who has followed us on Instagram so far. We hit that goal like with 2.5 hours to spare Central Time. So... Yeah.
And shout out to Amelia Is Reading on Instagram, our winner. So thank you for liking, posting, sharing, being a fan, and hope you enjoy your gift card and buy great books. Please let us know what you buy.
Yes, please let us know. So that was awesome. And I think I'm definitely looking forward to doing more of that in season 3 and in season, you know, in this year of connecting with more people, doing more things in person as we're able to. And even just the authors that we've gotten to talk to this year, I think we actually talked to more authors this year than we did last year. And I think we connected with a lot more publishers this year. I think just as we're growing, this year has just been a lot for us in terms of commitment to the podcast. We grew are the amount of content that we put out. We, I think, grew the amount of like minutes and episodes that we've put out, I think by like 30%, which is incredible for just an independent podcast. So thank you guys for everything. And thank you guys for making season 2 a smash hit for us. We are excited to keep doing this and keep going and to start season 3 with a bang a little bit later this month. So yeah. Huzzah season 2. Georgina, what are you reading, watching, and listening to?
I am reading The Family Upstairs by Lisa Jewell. I had previously read In the Year Watching You by her, and I really liked it. So I picked up this guy, and I think I may like it more than the first one. It's really good. So I'll finish that tonight. I am also listening to Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. We drove to Birmingham, so we needed an audiobook. So that's a nice kind of light balance and some comedy there. What have I been watching? I really haven't been watching TV. Have I? Ozark. I'm really trying to finish Ozark. Where I live and lie. I've got 2 more episodes of the final season. Don't tell me what happens. I'm very behind. I know this. then listening to Christmas music.
Yeah, I listened to
my audiobook. Yeah, my podcast got pushed to the wayside now that I have an audiobook. I'm like, ooh, 10 minutes on the way to work. Fantastic. So yeah. I'm going to have to find some balance in my life so that I can get my listening back up, because SmartList is just like stacking up. But then like one day I'm going to have a great clean of my house and I'll just get to listen to SmartList the whole time and I'll be a happy camper. I'm also making jambalaya for my office next week. And so I can do some SmartList while making some jambalaya. What about you?
I am reading, as a reading, I am on page 1 of A Court of Thorns and Roses. That is what I'm diving into, y'all. I have finally done it. Bookstagram and Georgina made me do it. I bought it during the 50% off hardback sale at Barnes & Noble. It is not hardback, but I saved so much money on all the hardbacks that I was like, oh, I'm just gonna get this too. So if you spotted it in my Barnes & Noble book haul, post and said something about it. I know that it's not a hardback, but I bought it during the sale, so it counts. But loved that. It made my TBR very long now. Just added 10 books to that. So fun. But that is what I'm reading. I just finished None of This Would Have Happened If Prince Were Alive, which I will talk about in our read cap for Q1.
But I bought that today.
I love it. Highly recommend. I did DM the author because I tagged her in my story and she commented back. So I did DM her and was just like, I really loved your book. Really loved it. If you are a woman in a relationship, a mom, really anything, it really is based in motherhood, but just any woman kind of shifting into adulthood in a relationship, just that kind of intersection of life, it really is a beautiful book. I like it a lot, and that's all I'm gonna say. Highly recommend, you should read it. I'm watching Andor on Disney Plus, still slowly working through that. And I watched the Dolly and Miley Cyrus New Year's Eve ball drop special. I watched the end of it. So I did not catch all of it because I was having dinner with my family, but I liked the performance part. I hated all of the in-between, all of the sketches that had Dolly or Miley in it were good. They were decent. It was like off-brand SNL. They were good, and I just love Dolly Parton, so, like, anything she does is great. The side hosts that they had hosting, like, the interludes between the Dolly and Molly parts were very awkward and uncomfortable. Mm. Like, to the point that it was very weird, and, like, I don't know. I did not like that part. Dolly and Miley sang Jolene. It was everything. That's all I wanted in my life. So, like, great. I'm so glad I got to see that live, and if Dolly Parton ever goes on tour, I will be there. She's on my bucket list. So interesting. It was interesting. Not my favorite. And that's sad because I was really excited to see it. And I watched the Mind of a Cat documentary on Netflix. And if you have a cat or just want something to fall asleep to and love cats, I learned a lot. My chicken nugget enjoyed watching it with me. He actually, I have a picture somewhere of him literally watching the cat documentary. He loves things with cats on it, on the TV. And so it was really fun, interesting. Listening to, I started She Podcasts, the podcast. They also have like a very large woman in podcasting network on Facebook that we're a part of. And so I finally decided to just like dive into their podcast. They have like 300 and something episodes. So I just randomly scrolled and started somewhere. So I'm still in the first listen for them, but very interesting. And if you're a podcaster and woman, female or identify in the female sphere, definitely a thing to check out. And of course I'm listening to Taylor Swift Midnight's album.
And I had a thought of why I haven't watched anything. It's because I've been watching football religiously, and that is like the only thing. And so for NFL, I came in third my first year in my fantasy football league.
Nice. Good.
Thank you. And then I now live in a house divided because Georgia and TCU are going to the national championship.
Oh, no.
And I went to Georgia and Alex went to TCU. And so it's been like a hot house here with a lot of smack talk. And it's so that's what I've been watching. That's why I can't think of what I've been watching, because I've literally been watching men in pants, tight pants, for days.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I don't. Which I
thought, right? About what? About football. I told you my football theory, right?
No, what is it?
Oh, whenever you do like history stuff and people talk about like how horrible gladiators are, and I'm just like, gee whiz, thousands of people convene and wear colors of their geographical area. They have like their own color and they all convene in a large Colosseum-esque structure to watch men battle it out on a field before them, where they put their bodies on the line in exchange for money and or goods and services.
Not wrong.
For our enjoyment. They're not fighting to the death and they're not slaves, but
people got hurt. People get hurt. Yeah.
People get hurt. We're cheering for it.
See, Okay, see, I don't get that deep. My real qualm with football, sorry, we're diverting, is white pants. I have such an issue with the white pants. Why in God's name are you wearing white pants?
Amanda,
you can see the diaper cover on the buttock. And it's just a visible panty line and it looks so bad. And so every single time I'm watching a game with people wearing white pants, I have to stop watching and get my adult coloring book and color because I can't stand to look at the visible panty lines.
Like, it stresses me out.
Okay, women are not allowed to wear underwear with their leggings. Men should not be allowed to wear white pants that are lycra.
The white skinny pants.
Okay, that's my TED talk. Let's go.
Okay, so background. So this is also, so this is part one, meat and potatoes. I'm going to keep saying potatoes of the episode. So we have our read cap for Q4. So Q4 of 2022, what you got for us? I actually have books to talk about.
I'm very pleased with you. I read 22 books in Q4. Oh, so my. You're like, Jesus.
All right, show.
So one book I read that I really liked is The Good Left Undone. And that is a great historical fiction read. If you are that sort of reader, really enjoyed that. I'm not going to go over all of them because you would get really bored. Another one I loved was When We Lost Our Heads. I bought it in Canada and I had never seen it before, but really interesting, like female friendship, but historical, but like murder-ish. I don't know. It was a crazy book, but I really enjoyed it. Our book for the month, I'm Glad My Mom Died. We'll get to that.
We'll get there.
And then I read A Court of Thorns and Roses. Thank you, Sarah, for telling me to read it. You are right. And I've purchased the second one, which everybody says is better. And so I'm really excited to read that this year. But I haven't read a series in a very long time. And so I'm actually really excited to get back into a series, having something to look forward to, waiting for, you know, those books to come out. Yeah. So really excited about that. I read Cover Story, which I really, really liked, and we may cover it at some point. The reason I really loved it is it's all written in emails and text messages, a journal, anything that's in the written word. There's no like dialogue between characters. It's just a recount of it in a journal, or if it's back more than text. But that was really cool. And the chapters are so short. So it was one of those that like I finished before I even knew it, because I would read two pages here, three pages there. And then I was like, oh, okay, oh, I'm done. So I kind of love when that happens in with books. And then I read Daisy Jones and the Six, because everybody said it was one of Taylor Jenkins Reid's best. I thought it was good. Fine. Evelyn Hugo is still her best. That is my full opinion of the three that I've read. And I know there's more, but.
And she out with a short story that's free on Kindle. I'm gonna go download it today. Yeah. But I'll let you guys know that'll be in my Q1 read cap. She came out with some sort of short story. So if you have Kindle, go run and download.
And after Raina told us to read it, I went and bought Galatea, which was really nice. I read it in one bathtub, and it was like a really nice, like it's like 55 pages and they're small,
it's a precious little book.
It's a precious little book. And I just took bath time for myself and read the book. And so for that reason, like very strong feelings. And it was like so good to be like, I finished a book in one sitting. Don't you love that? I love that.
It's a good feel. It's a good feel for sure.
And then one of my, probably one of my favorites that I've read, not, doesn't erase my top five, but like very good, was The Cloisters. And I told Laura to read it and she's going to go buy it. And yep, you may hear us talk about it because it is like The Lost Apothecary, but different. But it's got that like nice witchy vibe, and it's about tarot cards and history and figuring out, you know, what lies below the surface and how tarot cards came to be. And I loved it. I loved it. I was so just motivated to finish it. The other books I read, like I said, I'm not going to talk too much about. I'll put them in the blog and give a little snippet of, if you like this, read that.
If you will.
If this, then that. Yeah. So, yep. What about you?
So several of mine ended up in either ones that we've covered. Two of them are books that we've covered. One of them is Galatea by Madeline Miller, which I just feel also is just an interesting look. She is like, that's her big thing, is retelling of Greek mythology. And so reversing that point of view and telling the point of view of the statue, and, you know, it calls into question a lot of things on like womanhood and abuse. And we'll get into that today. We'll get to it. But, you know, just what, you know, motherhood and womanhood, like what does that do to you over time, and just all of that. Anyway, I just loved it. I think it's important. It's a small read. Do it. So I've talked multiple times about the Manning Tree Witches. There's nothing wrong with the Manning Tree Witches. I have said multiple times that I'm going to get back to it. And I just have realized that I'm not going to. So I'm adding it to the did not finish list. Not because it is not a good book, but because I personally do not have the mental fortitude to finish it with the thee, thou, thine, goody, whoever. I just, my brain doesn't want to do it. And so I'm not going to force myself to finish a book. And so she gone. She's very pretty. It's a very pretty book. And there's nothing wrong with it. I got like over 100 pages in, but I just like don't want to. So I'm glad my mom died. Killers of a Certain Age, which we've already talked about at length with Deanna Rayborn, which is also in my, it's my bonus book of like number six of my favorite books of last year. Court of the Vampire Queen by Katie Roberts, which she's spicy, which we've also talked about that book. She's spicy.
I can't wait to read it. Okay. So of my two books that I'm about to start, should I read Prince or should I read Vampire Queen?
Read Prince and then read Vampire Queen, because okay, Prince will go by really, really quickly. And I think you will enjoy it. Cool. Very, very, there's a lot of hurricane preppedness, and it's in Savannah, which is close to you. It feels very like New Orleanian. It's fun. It's a good read. You will laugh out loud, and you have mom friends who have had toddlers. So there are moments in that book where you're just like, oh, I've been here.
And I just spent half a week with a 2.5-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a 1-month-old. I love you all. Great week. But I got to give you back.
Yes. And then Cackle by Rachel Harrison, which was absolutely in my top five. It was one of those books that just made me happy. I read it in one night. I did one of those things where you're like, just one more chapter. I'm almost done. One more chapter, one more chapter. And then it's 4 a.m. And I've not done that in a really long time. And this book just made, it has a great twist at the end. And it's just fun. And I loved it. So thank you, Rachel Harrison, for writing that book. I loved, loved, loved Cackle. Highly recommend. And that is kind of it for me. So 6 books. So 2 a month versus your 1 bazillion. So, and, but I do, I like what we did. I like our choices that we've had. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that is like top down, like you must read something from your Q4?
Must read from my Q4. The Cloisters.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I will add that to my TBR. Ever-expanding TBR.
Ever-expanding. No, it was so good. And it was one of those that was just so quick for me. And I think you're really going to like it. So that's why I'm also saying that you should read it.
Cool. All right. Well, are we ready to get to our boozy book club for December?
I think so.
Okay. So if you have read the book, if not, like, it's about her life. So I really don't feel like we're spoiling anything. But we are not pairing a wine specifically because she definitely has problems with alcohol. And I think that it would actually be very, trying to think of the word,
problematic,
inconsiderate, rude, to pair a wine with a book that, you know, she is dealing very much so with alcoholism and alcohol abuse in a lot of what she's doing. But in other words, in other news, my Oct Sober turned into like Sober November, December, and a lot of people start Dry January just to like kick off the year on like a health kick. So one, to pair in with our December book, I found a great product that is non-alcoholic. And then if you are trying Dry January, highly recommend these products to like hop on the train. So this product is Seed Lip, and they are a non-alcoholic company. I'm just going to read their origin story and kind of what they do and talk about what I'm drinking right now, which I actually am like enjoying a lovely Seed Lip mocktail right now. And they just call them straight up Seed Lip cocktails. Like, they just are great. And I actually have the bottle right here to show you, Georgiana, because it is beautiful. Like,
oh, it's very pretty.
She's a great bottle. Mm-hmm. This one is, I'm drinking the Garden 108, which is an herbal blend. And I'll talk a little bit specifically about this blend. I'm drinking it in a mocktail with some ginger beer. So, you know, herbal ginger beer, but the bottles are beautiful.
And before she like really gets into this, I was thinking like kind of like those little on the rocks bottles. These are like full size, like liquor bottles of mocktail liquor. That's not liquor.
Yeah. Let me look at what I'm holding.
Because the price is going to scare you when you see it or when she tells you.
It's a pack of three.
Exactly. So
come down to like 30. You can get them individually, but I just looked at the three pack. And you know, it's this distilled non-alcoholic spirits, what to drink when you're not drinking, sweetener free, sugar free, no artificial flavors. They're made in London, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And they look very apothecary-esque. And so like the marketing is great, and they come in this beautiful box, which I have a picture of. So they're just gorgeous. And they're what, 100? Oh, zero calorie, y'all. Zero calorie, zero fat, zero carbs, zero protein, zero salt.
So the only calories you're getting is whatever mixer you put in.
Correct. And you can sip it over just ice, like 2 ounces over ice. They recommend this one with just tonic or soda and garnish. Each one of them, this says garnished with snap pea. I've not done that. I have it mixed with a ginger beer just because that's what I have on tap right now. But I even use the spice. This is the herbal, but I have the spice as well and the citrus. I used the spice one over the holidays and made like an old fashioned type vibe with it. And it was delicious. So, and I actually think the spice flavor is my favorite. So this is the background information about Seed Lip. So over 300 years ago, it was common for physicians to distill herbal remedies using copper stills, harnessing the power of nature and alchemy to solve medical maladies. In 1651, one such physician, John French, published The Art of Distillation, documenting these non-alcoholic recipes. At that same time, a family in Lincolnshire had started farming hand-sowing seeds using baskets called seed lips. Centuries later, Ben Branson stumbled upon John French's recipes. Ever the tinkerer, he was inspired to purchase a small copper still and experiment with distilling herbs grown in his garden at home. After a few months' time, while dining at an upscale London restaurant, Ben ordered a non-alcoholic cocktail. To his dismay, he was served a pink sugary drink that neither paired with the meal nor the atmosphere. Which, as I've been kind of having kind of a sober October vibe for the last couple of months, it is very difficult to get a good non-alcoholic cocktail. It has been like, or they'll serve it to you in like a kitty cup and it is just straight sugar. So I 100% like feel this vibe. And so after this incident began two meticulous years of perfecting the world's first non-alcoholic spirit, combining Ben's farming heritage, love of nature and design, and fulfilling the need for a sophisticated non-alcoholic option. Those years resulted in the development of Seed Lips' bespoke 6-week maceration, distillation, filtration, and blending process, for which each individual botanical ingredient is distilled separately before blending. This process results in a liquid devoid of alcohol and sugar. Ben launched Seed Lip Spice 94, which is the one I had during the holidays, in London Selfridges on November 4th, 2015. His first handmade 1,000 bottles sold out within 3 weeks, the second 1,000 in 3 days, and the third in 30 minutes online. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. The pioneering movement of offering those not drinking alcohol a sophisticated adult option has since become a segment all on its own, the ever-growing no and low alcohol category. And since Seed Lip has been embraced by the world's best bars, restaurants, hotels, and retailers across the globe, what began in a kitchen in the woods is now leading a worldwide revolution changing the way we drink. Seed Lip is only 4 years old, and we've been humbled by the response. Two gold medals at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show, opening up additional offices in Los Angeles and Sydney, launching their most recent citrus expression, which is not my favorite, Seed Lip Grove 42, publishing a cocktail book with Penguin, which I'm going to have to pick up, the global launch of the first ever no and low alcohol cocktail concept, No Low, are just some of the many highlights thus far. We're still very much just getting started. Ultimately, regardless of why you're not drinking alcohol, we're proud to offer you the choice of a flavorful, sophisticated adult option. And I do have, real quick, I promise I will wrap this up, but I did want to let you guys in on flavors because it can feel like, I'm trying to think of how to explain it. It can feel when you're not drinking alcohol, like you're missing out on things. And I think that that's something that like going out as an adult and drinking alcohol has become like, that is the pastime. Like you go somewhere and you drink. So This gives you kind of just something else, for lack of a better term, like something that's maybe more interesting and something to at least stay involved. And so the one that I'm currently sipping is Garden 108. And the ingredients in here are peas, which fresh note with all the goodness, eat your peas, please. I just love the stuff that they put in their website, and they have nature facts. So here's your nature fact on peas.
Okay.
A delicacy in the 17th century, kings would wow their guests by simply serving peas. Hey, unique green and dry quality flavor. Fact. Commonly used to make bourbon and wine barrels. Spearmint, minty freshness for a clean finish. Fact, fittingly known as garden mint. So garden mint and spearmint are the same thing. Rosemary, fragrant leaves paired with a woody herb flavor. The name derives from the Latin for dew, which is ros, and sea, marinus, dew of the sea. Hops, so this does have hops in it. Slightly bitter kick with a peppery tone. The first documented cultivation of hops was in 736 AD in Germany.
That holds up.
And thyme, which is piney, peppery twist with lemon and mint. And it's used for culinary, medicinal, and ornamental purposes. Now, you can buy each of these individually. And just so I just clicked it to see what each one individually is. You can buy a 3-pack, which honestly is not, like, the 3-pack retails for $89. And then individually they retail for $32. So it essentially retails for the same price as a decent bottle of liquor, but it's just non-alcoholic. And if you are kind of trying to make a definite effort to not drink alcohol and want something that is a little bit more sophisticated, this is a really nice alternative. And so once again, I'm having mine 2 ounces with some ginger beer and ice, and it is delightful. And that is my item. There you go. That is my pairing.
I look forward to trying it. That just sounds light and delightful. And, you know, I think that, like, especially when you're at home and it's the end of the day and you want to unwind, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine, but, you know,
we love our wine.
You do have to get up in the morning. And so this seems like a nice alternative, like, during the week, just to throw into your mix of, like, oh, I'm having a refreshing cocktail-like beverage. And then, you know, if you want to go out on Saturday, go out on Saturday, you know? But I think it's a good way to even just, like, bring balance into your life.
Yes. And I was doing a lot of research actually in kind of the non-alcoholic movement in general. I did try, you've probably seen it in, it's in a lot of liquor stores, is the free, F-R-E, mm-hmm. the alcohol removed wine. And I tried the, like, quote unquote sparkling wine, and the sparkling wine from Free tastes like a decent Moscato, which was nice. I think I have their Cabernet Sauvignon. No, is a no for me. The Free Cabernet Sauvignon, no thank you. But the Free sparkling wine, alcohol removed, delightful. And a wonderful replacement if you are just trying not to drink for a period of time. I know a lot of people during, you know, New Year's resolutions, they try not to drink during the week. And there's something about having that established routine of, like, I get home and I pour myself a glass of wine, or I make myself a martini. And there's something in that ritual of making something that is relaxing. So if you're just making yourself something, you can start, you know, working in your seed lip as a replacement. If you're just looking for a ritual replacement for a period of time, or if you're just not drinking and you're listening to our podcast and you're not a drinker, because I know some people don't drink. So there you are. That is our non-alcoholic pairing.
Very cool. So on to the rest of the meat and the potatoes. Our book for this month was I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. I picked this book, and we'll get into that in a minute, but here is a kind of synopsis from Simon & Schuster, and then we'll get to it. Jeanette McCurdy was 6 years old when she had her first acting audition. Her mother's dream was for her only daughter to become a star, and Jeanette would do anything to make her mother happy. So she went along with what mom called calorie restriction, eating little, weighing herself 5 times a day. She endured extensive at-home makeovers while mom chided, "Your eyelashes are invisible, okay? You think Dakota Fanning doesn't tint hers?" She was even showered by her mother until age 16 while sharing her diaries, email, and all her income. And I'm Glad My Mom Died, Jeanette recounts all of this in unflinching detail, just as she chronicles what happened when the dream finally comes true. Cast in a new Nickelodeon series called iCarly, she is thrust into fame. Though mom is ecstatic, emailing fan club moderators and getting on a first name basis with the paparazzi. Hi, Gail. Jeanette is riddled with anxiety, shame, and self-loathing, which manifests into eating disorders, addiction, and a series of unhealthy relationships. These issues only get worse when, soon after taking the lead in the iCarly spinoff, Sam and Cat, alongside Ariana Grande, her mother dies of cancer. Finally, after discovering therapy and quitting acting, Jeanette embarks on recovery and decides for the first time in her life what she really wants. Told with candor and dark humor, I'm Glad My Mom Died is an inspiring story of resilience, independence, and the joy of shampooing your own hair.
Homie.
So I picked this book, I mean, the title is what gets you first, and the fact that she is in pink and yellow and holding a pink urn on the front cover, it just, it makes you intrigued. And so that kind of made me pick up the book, and it was one of my one sitting reads. I could not put it down. The way she writes just is a breeze to read, even though you're reading such heavy, heavy topics.
Yeah. And
the way she discusses grief is so honest, because yes, we are talking about the abuse, the horrible things that have happened to her at the hands of her mother. But at the end, when her mother dies and she's sitting at the side of the bed, the way she talks about those feelings and still the fact that she's losing her mother, that doesn't take away the weight of that loss. And so I think it's a really beautiful way that, you know, she has just put her whole heart on the line to say, sorry, my language, shit's fucked up.
Yeah.
My mom died. That sucked. But at the end of the day, I now have gone through all of this trauma, all of this, and now I'm on the other side and can take care of myself. And I can just push that out of the forefront so that I can just be great on my own. And, you know, I just loved it. Her vulnerability really just like shook me. And, you know, I think Laura and I, we have wonderful mothers. And so we're not.
Five times when I was trying to record, I had to text her and be like, I'm recording, please stop calling.
Yes. And, you know, I love my mother. I miss her every day, but there are some things that growing up really just probably weren't okay. And so, you know, not at all to this extreme, but taking that and saying, wait, that was not right. That was not okay. That should not have been that way.
Yeah.
And all of the therapy I've been through, you know, telling me on the other side. And, you know, so one of the kind of questions that has come up in a lot of articles and discussion questions, but one I have too, you know, like, you're a kid, you love your mother, you want to please your mother, you would do anything to make her happy. And Jeanette finally realizes as an adult that she's abusive. But I think a lot of women, men too, probably, but I can't speak for men. I can't really speak for all women either, but, can you relate to wanting someone else to be happy so much it comes at the expense of your own?
Can I? Yes. And I think that's something that is very interesting, because it does become a sort of codependent relationship. And you can definitely see that in this novel, is that there are just some relationships that are not healthy, that you base your, and you see it unfold in this novel, where in these relationships, in these codependent relationships, you are basing your happiness or your value on whether the other person is happy or unhappy. Are they pleased? Are they displeased? Is what I'm doing, or what I did, this thing, does it bring them happiness, or are they unhappy? And if they're unhappy, or they don't approve, or they have a criticism, then I failed, or I did something wrong, or this is not a good thing, this is a bad thing, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And I think that there is something to be said about the manipulation in that, but it's both sides. So there's something that gets built there. And when it's a child and mother dynamic, I see it's very different. But in a just relationship situation, it becomes definitely a, there are both sides of the codependent relationship. When you hit a point as an adult, and you see it in Jeanette, when she starts becoming an adult and she's 16, 17, 18, and she's like begging for independence and begging for freedom and like making very reasonable requests.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like to wash my own hair, please, which is a normal thing. And the response there is just at some point in a codependent relationship that gets that bad is being able to, or have a support system or a friendship, someone, anyone that you can talk to help you stand up for a healthier part of the relationship, whether that's therapy and having someone to be able to talk to you, or a friend or something. I think there's just a very big importance there as an adult. As a child, unfortunately it's a horrible situation that, like, basically she was raised to be completely codependent on her mother for worth, for happiness, for joy, for like her entire life's purpose. She even says it, her entire life's purpose is to bring her mother joy and happiness and to make her mom happy, which is like not her life purpose. And that's horrible and sad that like that is what she was made to feel and believe. And as an adult, it's difficult when you're in those situations, but I think that as an adult, you have the reasoning capability to understand that what you're doing or the situation that you are in is unhealthy and to fix it.
Yeah, pleasing your mother really resonated with me, and the eating disorder aspect of it. And, you know, I'm going to be very frank and honest and put it all out on the line. My mom, when she was young, was very thin, like tiny little waist, big boobs, good butt. And she had saved a bunch of her clothes, and she would like, we would try them on and she would hold them up and she'd go, "Oh, you will never fit in that. You'll never fit in that." And I would try it on and I wouldn't fit in it. And when I was 16, I ran in the morning when I woke up. I ate grapes and almonds and half a sandwich with jelly on it. And then I would go to cross country. And then I would come home and I would do an exercise video. And then I would lay on the ground and do crunches. And I think they call that exercise-induced bulimia. But then I was also kind of anorexic because I wasn't eating at all. And I finally got in the clothes that my mom told me that I would never fit in. And
yeah,
I was so damn proud of myself. And then I just wanted to keep going to prove to her that I could be skinnier and make her proud. And yeah, I got down to 107 pounds. And then I, you know, people in the anorexia talk at school kept looking at me, and then thank God somebody else passed out. Sorry, girl.
Someone else have a problem.
Yeah. And, you know, like now I know that I definitely have body dysmorphia in some way. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm never okay with it, even when I'm healthy and, you know, I'm muscular and I'm eating great and working out and I feel great. There's part of me that's always like, you'd never fit in that. And that's not to say, you know, I love my mother, but it's kind of how she was raised, you know, with that kind of like nagging tone that just kind of came out of that generation, and it kind of carried on to me. And I can look back at that now and know that when I have children, that can't be something I bring into the narrative, because I know what it has done to me and how I feel about my body. And I don't want to put that on anybody else.
Yeah, and I understand that. I think that's something you and I bonded over early in our friendship. My story is a little different, just with eating disorders. I know that I was definitely, what is it, the exercise induced bulimia, and definitely on the anorexic side, because that's just easier. I don't like to puke. Yeah. I just don't. It was never something that I thought was interesting. Definitely during high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic school, and in the early 2000s, when being thin was still very, very popular, you know, coming straight out of the 90s, and that heroin chic was still very much so the look. You had, you know, Christina Aguilera in the low, low, low rise pants. Like, you can't have a belly. You can't have love handles in those outfits. And, you know, Mean Girls, all of those fashions are really based on having kind of like no hips, no thighs. The thigh gap was a thing. Mm-hmm. I was also in dance and theater, and in that aspect where everything is kind of based on your body and what your body looks like. You can't really be a ballerina if you're curvy and have hips. Or, you know, like me, 5 feet tall and just athletic. Like, I am curvy, but no, I'm definitely athletic. But, and I was absolutely struggling with food intake in general when I was pregnant, and I found out I was pregnant with my son. And I remember being excited because I raised my arms and you could see my ribs on the side. And I was like super pumped about it, about like how thin I was. I was in a size 00 skinny jeans and super stoked about it. And now looking back on that and knowing just how unhealthy, and everyone was talking about how good I looked, which is even sadder. That's the worst. And Jeanette even talks about it in her book, is, you know, she hit a point where she was super, super thin and people kept complimenting her on how good she looked. And it's very tough, and encourages that mindset sometimes where skinny is seen as good and anything less than skinny is bad. And now, you know, being on the other side of motherhood and what your body looks like after motherhood, I am now, what, I'm 135 pounds. I lift weights, I run, I'm very athletic, and I do a lot of yoga and stuff like that. And I still just about every day, especially given like what motherhood does to your body, I gained 100 pounds. So I kind of flipped on the other side with my eating. When I found out I was pregnant, I was very anorexic and thin. And then I found out I was pregnant and I gained 100 pounds in 4 months. I ate one whole pound of boiled potatoes in one sitting. I like went the complete opposite. So, and then have struggled very much so with eating since, and just kind of establishing, y'all go to therapy, establishing
therapy
relationships with food and exercise and all of that. I think that there's just so much to be said in what we consume in the media and what we allow ourselves, the expectations we allow to put on ourselves in just real life. And welcome to, this is something I did in my passion planner today, is, you know, made realistic expectations and realistic goals for myself for the year. And, you know, my roadmap, my game changer was establish healthy habits and not get healthy. It was establish healthy habits. And, you know, I made a little map of all the different realms of what health really is. You know, you've got your mental, your spiritual, your intellectual, and your physical is really only this small part of being healthy. But unfortunately, healthy is viewed as your weight and what you look like. And unfortunately, that's the society sometimes that we live in. I'm excited for like this kind of cultural revolution that we're in for that. But it does. I am excited for some of the I'm sad because Instagram models are just unrealistic in a lot of ways, but happy for this generation, at least in the future of women that, you know, we are raising, that they see more realistic representations of women in movie and cinema, in books, on social media. I'm excited to see this kind of cultural revolution that we have right now. in terms of food and fitness and eating.
And, you know, it's really interesting that you mentioned your roadmap, because I had therapy today and my therapist asked me, you know, do I have any resolutions for the year? And I was like, you know, I'm not giving anything up. I don't want to pigeonhole myself and say, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. But what my promise to myself was this year is I'm going to continue to make good choices for myself. And it's vague. And that's exactly what they tell you not to do in everything. They tell you to make a SMART goal. But I think I'm just kind of at the point where I just need to keep making decisions that make me happy, do things that are good for me, that make me feel better, and recognize when things are not making me happy and remove them from the equation systematically. You know, not saying, oh, I know that saying curse words makes me really mad. It doesn't. I love it. but I'm not going to curse, because then that's going to make you want to curse more. And so I think it's just one step at a time. And, you know, I really wish that Jeanette had been given the opportunity at a young age to have therapy. And I listened to, and I'm going to put this on the blog, guys. I tell you, I'm going to do blog posts and I never do them, but one day I'm going to sit down and you're going to have like 10 and it's going to be great. And I'll tell you when to go. It may be next year.
We'll send you an email.
Yeah. We'll send you an email. But I watched an interview with Drew Barrymore and Jeanette McCurdy, and Drew had a dysfunctional, abusive relationship with her mother. And, you know, grew up in the spotlight, grew up with alcohol, grew up with drugs, no parental supervision. And it was incredible to see them talk so openly and candidly about the lack of support that they had at a young age. And, you know, I think that if you are going to be not a kid when you're a kid, you've got to have somebody in your corner that stands to gain nothing from you.
Yeah. And I want to circle back on something that was mentioned in the book that you were talking about earlier. And something that we talked about is you hit that point in the novel where her mom is dying. Mm-hmm. And you're happy for her. You're like rooting for it. But then you have this moment where you're like, oh, no, that's her mom. Like, I feel bad that I'm rooting for her mom to die. But like, she needs to go. And so it's a very complicated place to be. And I'm sure a very complicated emotion for Jeanette, you know, to look at that and see while you're reading this book that you are literally cheering for her mom to die because you see how bad that relationship is. And it's sad because she's still her mom, you know, your mother is still your mother. And you and I've talked about that off air, if you will. And I think that there's just something so powerful in that conversation and the power that your parents and your upbringing have to shape you, especially during years where you like are very, very important. I mean, your formative years are incredibly important. And I think just this ridiculously toxic relationship she has with her family and her, like all of her family allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm. They knew it was going on. Nobody was there supporting her.
And they let it happen to all of their children. Mm-hmm. They lived in the hoarder house. They lit like all of that. They just allowed these very unhealthy habits to continue. And so if anything, if y'all get anything from this book, I highly recommend that you read it. If you get anything from this book, one, go to therapy. And two, if you see something, say something. I think that there's too much, and that, you know, that is that time frame too, is that everyone's so worried about being polite. And there's so much wrong with some of that, that like I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but if what, so what someone is doing is wrong, it's wrong.
And like, how many times do we hear stories of teachers saying, you know, I suspected maybe something was going on. I asked them if they were okay. They said they were fine. And then I find out all of this crazy shit's happening. And, you know, to your point, stop being polite and take care of people, because, you know, don't be an alarmist, but at the end of the day, you can tell when something's fishy.
Yeah.
And you've got to stand up for the people that can't stand up for themselves. And, you know, and I think that's really hard in her situation, because she was going out booking commercials, booking small roles, and it seems like a dream that she's going to be on TV. And, you know, because what kid did not want to be on Nickelodeon or Disney Channel?
Literally everyone. And they still do.
You know, time and time again, we still, you know, keep hearing these stories of situations of people not getting to be who they want to be, not being able to express themselves, fit the mold. And, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, but, you know, not in defense of, but the people around her could only see the good. They had the rose colored glasses on that this is just great.
Yeah. And I do, there's so much in this book. I think that it's also, by the way, everyone, I took a picture of it. I will post it in our stories, that the day that Jeanette goes in the hospital to talk to her mom right before she dies is Christmas Eve Eve. Mm. Merry Christmas, everybody. So it is relevant that we chose this book for this day, for this month of December, also because it's new. But I really hope you guys read it. It is a really great novel. And I think we could talk forever and this would become like its own little mini therapy session. And I'm trying to make sure there's nothing major in this book. I think it's very interesting when they talk about corporate America and Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. and that relationship, how the media kind of ran with the story of her quitting the show because Ariana made more money than her, when really it was so much else, so much more was going on, and the media reported what it wanted to, and so much with the drama of they were still kids.
Yeah,
she was like 18 19, like they were both still honestly babies.
Mm-hmm. And you know, from what I could tell afterward, they're friends now. Like that negative attention and the pitting against each other and everything, like they're like, no, we good. Like, we're friends. We support each other. We love each other, you know? And you see that with, what was it? It was Miley and Selena.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see, and then, oh, Hailey Bieber and Selena Gomez just posting a picture together at maybe a month ago at an event. Gosh.
Everyone's losing it. I'm like, y'all, Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber dated when they were babies.
Babies. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Do you care who your boyfriend from 16 dates? No, I really don't. And so, yeah, I think it really, you know, and I think we're all so infatuated. Like I talked earlier about how much I love The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Like, and I still think it's Taylor Jenkins Reid's best book that I've read. But I'm sitting here with rose-colored glasses looking at this world, and then, you know, they're painting a picture behind the scenes that it's not what they're projecting to the world, and controlling the media and the narrative. And, you know, this book, I think, really just highlights, like, our fascination with
fame.
With fame, and thinking that we're, like, all up in it and we know everything, and, like, we contribute to the problem. And we have to stop caring. And that's really hard for me to say, because like people is like up there.
I'm like, list. You love E! News.
I love E! News. Like, and so I'm going to have like a come to Jesus with myself of like, maybe this isn't the best and isn't healthy for, the people that I'm reading about. I mean, I can still like ooh and ah over their fabulous fashion, but care less about their personal lives. And I think they would really appreciate that.
For sure, for sure.
And kind of, do you have anything else you want to say before I do a wrap-up question?
Wrap up.
Yeah, because I mean, you and I would go on forever. but people really, really hated the name of her book. And there was like a lot of pushback. And she was like, no. And direct quote, her choice is something that I mean sincerely. How do you feel about the title? And is it okay to express relief or happiness when someone dies?
I think so. I definitely think, especially in her relationship with her mother and like there for her, and at least in the way that it was established, I think she would be like 10 years in therapy before she would be able to have that actual conversation with her mother. Mm-hmm. And even then, like their relationship was not good and it was already becoming very estranged. So I like the title. I think for a book, I like things that are provocative in general. So yeah. I think as the book, I think it's a very, very good title. I think that it gets your attention. I think that it is fitting for the novel because you as the reader get to a point where you are glad. You're like, oh, thank goodness. And I think there's just something, especially in that relationship, there is a sense of relief because she is free.
And, you know, I think around death, we always say, you know, well, they're no longer suffering. And I think that that's a really kind of double-edged sword in this situation. You know, her mom is dying of cancer. Her mom was not good, you know, so her suffering ended. But in her dying, Jeanette's suffering also started to end. And, you know, there's this weird feeling that, you know, when you're sitting next to a hospital bed and you're watching that tick, tick, tick down of the person dying and you're sitting there and you're like holding their hand, but you're just like, can you die already? Because like, this is the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. And there's that moment when you're like, okay, I'm glad it's over, but holy shit, what just happened? My heart is breaking into a million pieces. And I feel like for her, she's got all of these conflicting feelings of like, oh my God, you were awful to me.
Yeah.
You're my mom. Can you just die? Because I'm tired of sitting here watching you die and feeling that pain, but also dealing with the pain of you in my whole life. And it's just like so many layers of what she's trying to say. And so, you know, aside from the provocativeness of it, it's also just like this, I think it means so much more than what it is at face value.
Yeah.
And I think if you are short-sighted and you see it at face value, then you're not understanding what at all she's trying to say.
For sure. I feel it. I like it.
Okay. Sorry. We'll get off the death chat. Woo, guys.
Woo-hoo! Go pour yourself a stout seed lip.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to end that on a joke. It's a horrible joke.
Do it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
When is a door not a door?
When?
When it's a jar.
I hate you.
But you're laughing.
Wow. Wow. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Decanterbury Tales, our end. That's it. That's it. Season 2 is over. We just ended it. Goodbye.
A horrible joke.
Honestly, I'd have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you guys for joining us for another incredible season. And season 3 literally starts later this month. So Thank you guys for everything. Follow us on Instagram at Decanterbury Pod, on Facebook, Decanterbury Tales, the podcast, Goodreads. We are website, decanterburytales.com. What else I got?
No
email.
Longer on Twitter.
Yeah, we deleted our Twitter, so don't try. And email us if you have a book recommendation, a wine recommendation, or a funny anecdote about wine and or books that you want to tell us. We'll read it on the podcast. Why not? And yeah, that's what we got, homies.
Bottoms up.
Stay weird.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Decanterbury Tales, a boozy book club podcast. If you've loved what you listened to, don't forget to write us a review. It is the best way to share the love. Enjoy our website, decanterburytales.com. Write us an email at decanterburypod@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram at decanterburypod, Facebook, Decanterbury Tales, the podcast, and on Goodreads, Decanterbury Tales. Bottoms up and stay weird. Cheers!